Well, tonight, I don't know if this will touch anybody much. I'm just kidding. I want to talk about returning from a fight with the devil. You ever feel like you bump into him sometimes? Yeah. It's like someone says, you know, if you never run into the devil, you might be running with him. And there's a certain measure of truth of that. So tonight I want to dip back into Luke chapter 4. And this has to do with the temptation of Jesus and what happened after the temptation that he endured. And that's where I'm picking this title up. After he was tempted and the devil left him, what happened? He was returning from a fight with the devil. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to kind of set the context of this scripture. You will recall that Jesus was baptized by John, and when he was baptized, the heaven opened, the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained, and so he received a declaration from Father God over his life. He already was full of the Holy Spirit, but now the Holy Spirit is coming upon him and remaining as he steps into public ministry. But the next thing that happens isn't that he goes to Nazareth and reads the scroll of Isaiah and announces the beginning of his public ministry. The next thing that happens is that it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's Luke chapter 3, it says that Jesus was sent out. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. One of the gospel writers uses the term, it says he was compelled to go. It's like it was a necessary part of what had to happen. He had 40 days in the wilderness, fasting. He hasn't eaten, hasn't drank anything for 40 days. So in a physical sense, he would have been depleted without food and water. He'd been fasting. Then the devil comes and begins his heavy-duty temptations. Now, as you've heard me mention a number of times, what Satan attacked was what God had announced over him. This is my son, and I'm pleased with him. This is my son. I'm proud of him. This is my beloved son. That was the declaration, a public announcement of God the Father to those witnesses that Jesus was his son. That's a pretty powerful thing. But that's exactly, he got this revelation was announced, but it was the revelation of his identity that the devil comes after. After the 40 days. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, jump off the pinnacle and the angels will bear you up. If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these nations. Because the nations were promised to the Son in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, and I'm going to give the nations as an inheritance to him. That was God's promise to him. The same God that said, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Father God, he had promised the nations to him. So the devil is trying to get him to derail his destiny and take a shortcut to see the fulfillment illegitimately of what God had promised him. If he had done it the devil's way, he would have been the sidekick of the devil and would have rulership in the nations. But he and Father God, that wouldn't have been good. And of course, Jesus did not fall for any of it. But sometimes people think, well, he was God in human flesh, and so, you know, it must not have been too tough for him. But see, everything he did as a man full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he was tempted in every point just as we are. Difference being, he never sinned. So don't take away from how powerful that temptation must have been. And again, the enemy will do the same thing with us. You can mark it down. He's after your destiny. He wants you to be messed up when it comes to knowing who you are, your identity. That's prevalent in our culture today. Isn't that interesting? We were made in the image of God, male and female, And now the enemy's got in there and he's got people so confused about very basic human history long understood biological facts. You know, you got a daddy, you got a mama, you get a baby. And yet there's been such confusion brought into that realm. And it's really the same type of thing the enemy wants to do spiritually among believers. I mentioned some of this Sunday was a week ago, but just the warfare over our identity. And we see it here with Jesus. He's coming after that. If you're God's son, prove it. The devil always wants you to prove who you are. But when you know who you are, you don't have to prove who you are. And Jesus knew who he was, so he didn't have to prove who he was. We get into so much trouble trying to prove to other people who we want them to think we are. But it really doesn't matter what other people think you are. What really matters is do you know who you are? And so a lot of our temptations in a peripheral way touch this area of our lives, our identity. Now, in verse 1 of Luke 4, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil." Luke 4:13, after the temptation, it says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." One of the gospel writers says that he left him for a season, a period of time. So this temptation, which was so heavy duty, now the enemy is backing off until a more opportune time. He was unsuccessful, but that doesn't mean he's given up. And I find it interesting as well that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that temptation, again, as he bore our sins, imagine that, on the cross, those same questions were hurled to him. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. Now why can't he save himself? Again, prove to us who you are. Come down from there. Isn't that interesting? Same thing. But see, he stayed on the cross not because he could not come down. He stayed on the cross because he would not come down. You see, he endured the cross, the Bible says. He bore the shame. He bore our sins. And therefore, God has now also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, the enemy was coming after that at the temptation and it failed. A last-ditch effort at the cross and it failed. But as a result, Jesus, now his name is the name above every name, with the promise that every human being that ever left a footprint on the planet will bow their knees and confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. All the nations that will be given to him, everybody will come before him and do that. Now, after this, in Luke 4:14, then Jesus, now notice verse 1, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, he went to be tempted. Now, after the temptation, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have any power during his temptation. As a matter of fact, that was part of the temptation too. The devil was trying to get him to misappropriate his power. Turn those stones into bread. You can do it. You got the power. He didn't use it there. But now after he successfully endured the temptation, now he's returning. It says that he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. If you follow Luke, the next thing that happens is he goes to Nazareth. He goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He picks up the scroll. He unrolls it and then he reads Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are captive, and to preach literally the year of Jubilee. I mean, the Jubilee of all Jubilees. The last of the Jubilees. I mean, it's summed up in Him. And then He began ministering. And you see Him go to the synagogue, and there's a man with a withered hand. And the man with an unclean spirit that begins to cry out. You know what the unclean spirit cries out? This is the Christ. The devil knew who He was. But folks didn't catch on too quickly. And he cast the demon out. And then he drops by Peter's house. And his mother-in-law's running a fever. And it says he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And the fever left her, and she got up and fixed them something to eat. And then he ministers in Nazareth. And they marvel at the anointing that's on him as he preaches with one that has authority. They marvel, but they said, but wait. This is Joseph's son. Mark tells us in his gospel that he could do no mighty works there except heal a few sick folks because of their unbelief. And then he tells them, he basically says, you know, you're going to be left out. And you know what they do? They didn't repent. It says that they take him, they go out to the edge of the city at the high place, and they attempt to throw him off the cliff. And it says he went out of their midst. That was a supernatural thing, by the way. He just went through their midst. And then he started going places, and people came out of the hills and the hollows and the mountains and the byways. They came to where he was, and the power of the Lord that was present to heal, and he healed all of them. And those who had unclean spirits, they were cast out. After he returned from his fight with the devil, he had an empowerment that God unleashed through him. Think of the devils that he was able to cast out because he didn't allow the devil to take him out. Now, some of you here tonight, maybe recently you've been battered and bruised. You feel like you've gone 15 rounds with the devil and he knocked you out every round. But here you are. Here you are. Here you are in church. Here you are in church on a Wednesday night. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. You see, you didn't quit. You haven't given up. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is the, after Adam and Eve sinned, after they sinned, Jesus is the only human being that can face off with the devil where the devil could say, I can't find any sin. I can't find anything in him. Now the rest of us, there's something from our past, some sin that he can use as leverage. And that's what he'll try to do. But see, we need the revelation of who we are now. You see. Because here's the truth. Just as Jesus stood before him in his temptation as the sinless Son of God, now you and I, when we're tempted, when we really understand who we are, we can have that authority. Well, you know what you did. Well, God doesn't even remember it. Why should I? He chooses not to remember it anymore. He's put it under the blood of His Son. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the devil was stripped of all his authority and power. Everything that he held against mankind, Jesus took care of that. So when a person comes to faith in Jesus and gets the revelation of who we are, since our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and that God now views us through His Son Jesus and His righteousness, when we start getting that revelation, now we will begin to have a power of the Spirit that enables us to overcome and triumph over sin. And I'm not saying any of us are striking the mark 100%, but I'm just saying you do not have to live with a defeatist attitude. Because greater is He who's in you than he who is in the world. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells mightily in you. God's Word declares you righteous by virtue of what Christ accomplished for you. Your sins have been cast behind His back. They've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. He's put them there to remember them no more. The enemy wants to dredge them up, parade them before you. But your victory rests in the victory that's already been secured by Christ. It's an ongoing. What He did on the cross has eternal, an ongoing eternal benefit for us all. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been given a new nature. Sometimes the old man wants to crawl up out of the grave and have an hour or two, huh? Sometimes we give him a minute when we shouldn't, right? But when we know who we are and we live from that revelation knowledge, and I'm not just talking about getting it between your ears. I'm talking about for that become rhema word in your heart, alive in your heart. Like to be able to say with integrity in your heart, with an unfeigned faith in your heart, I know God loves me. And I want to tell you something, there's power in that. I won't dive deep off in this, but one of the worst days in my life, when the enemy was pummeling me as hard as he could, I never for a microsecond doubted that God loved me. And that was what got me through. He had reasons not to, but I never doubted that He loved me. Now, I can't say that's been true my whole life, but I've settled that issue in my heart. I know my Father God loves me. And that in itself can bring great convictions when you know you're loved that way and you realize, hey, I'm not living up to that love. How could he love me this way? There is such power in the revelation of that. Jesus received that revelation at His baptism. He knew it, but this is here for for us. That's spoken over us. We are now God's children. As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority, the right, the authority to become the children of God. We have, through faith in Christ, become God's children. Jesus is the firstborn among many. He's our elder brother. We're part of the family of God. We got Father God on the throne, our elder brother Jesus at His right hand. And by the way, we are seated with our elder brother by Father's right hand in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. That's our spiritual position. Now, I'm standing on this platform behind this pulpit in this white shirt and these blue pants and a set of tennis shoes tonight in my material corporal body. But my spiritual position, my spirit man, is in union with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is seated beside the Father's right hand, the strong right hand of the Father. It was out of the lips of the Father that He spoke and light came into being and the cosmos came into being and the stars and the planets and the universes came into being. It was the breath of God breathed out in Adam's nostrils that caused a heap of sand become a man. That God is seated by me on the throne because I am in Christ. I am speaking spiritually. But see, in the unseen realm, these are realities and truths that transcend the natural realm. These bodies will perish, return to dust, but our spirit lives on. And because of what's happened in the realm of the spirit, we have hope of the redemption of the body. The guarantee of the full package. We will be given glorified corporal bodies indwelt by the Spirit that's living in you now. We will be suited and fitted for another world that will ascend down onto this earth that will have been made new, renovated. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will forever dwell with our Father and our elder brother Jesus, who is also our Lord and Savior. And we will, I believe, will be sent out on assignments to whatever worlds He's got going on, stuff everywhere. We'll be involved in that. But our concern right now is to manifest our God-given identity in the realm of earth so that there'll be more members in God's family when yonder day comes. We need to come out of the fights with the devil, not with a defeated attitude. And even when you fail, and you get up and you dust off. You need to get right back in this line of thinking. Because the enemy will try to make you think, well, you know, you failed. That means you're going to fail again. You're going to fail again. Well, you don't plan to fail, hopefully. And I will declare that the Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, yet shall he rise again. We got so much promise that nothing can keep us down if we will just rise up with the revelation of who God says we are in His Word. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies and a liar from a beginning. His nature is described in the book of Revelation as the accuser of the brethren. So he's going to pommel you, buffet you, come against you time and time again. And you may have seasons it's not as bad. He left Jesus for an opportune time. But he's like a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You got a target on your back. The devil's looking for you for lunch. That's just the truth. But he can't have you because you belong to the greater one. I remember years ago, E.B. Hill, a well-known Baptist pastor, he said, that devil, he ain't nothing. You know, when you realize who Jesus is by comparison, he's not. He's a created, fallen being. Now, without Jesus, we are the devil's lunch. It's only because of what Jesus has done for us and who we are in Him that gives us the capacity to be able to stand with authority and overcome Him and trample under our feet scorpions and serpents and all the power of the enemy. Look at your feet for a moment. The Bible says those are devil stomping feet right there. Amen? I mean, don't you get tired of having his footprints on your back? Our footprints need to be on him. That's what the Bible says. Even under the old covenant, God told the children of Israel, I'm giving you the promised land. You know what the promised land is for the believer? Christ. You know what the rest that they never entered into that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, you know what the rest is? For us, it's in Christ. We rest in His finished work. But even under the old covenant, God told them, every place you put the sole of your feet, I'm giving it to you. Now, did they have to fight for it? Yes, they did. They had to wield their swords, throw their spears, face iron chariots, face giants, face walled cities. They had to do all that. But before they faced it, God said, I'm giving it to you. They got it because God gave it to them. He said, I'll cause dread to come upon your enemy. I will cause them to have a fear in their heart toward you. The spies came back and said, their giants were grasshoppers. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can take them. You see, we've got to have the Caleb-Joshua attitude. Like, we're the giants. The enemy's the grasshopper. Right? But the enemy, see, he only has power over us through deception. Our sin, his deception, is what grants him access. Or I will even say someone else's sin. Because I've just seen it too often where someone who was abused as a child or victimized by someone bigger and stronger, how that can open things up in their life through trauma for the enemy to get a stronghold. Because that's his nature. He's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we're fighting with the devil, we need to remember what Jesus remembered. Here we go. Who we are. Okay? I preached enough about that. Secondly, he used God's Word. The time you may need to stand and just declare God's Word over your life and over your circumstance is often the time when you don't want to say anything. Maybe you're tired, you're beat up, you're worn down. But there's something about it. If you can get that enough faith in your heart, even though you feel You may feel like a failure. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. You may feel defeated. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. You may feel like it's over. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. All of those feelings may be present, but in the middle of that, if you can get some faith and get a hold of God's Word, and I think it's important to speak it out loud to yourself. You see Jesus operating this way. He spoke to a tree, cursed it, basically, you're going to die, tree, and it went to tree cemetery. I mean, it was over, right? He could speak to storms, and they would become calm. He could speak a word and somebody could be healed at a distance. He did that for the centurion's servant. That declaring God's word. And sometimes we need to declare that over ourselves. You get some of those promises out of the old and promises out of the new and load your machine gun and you start firing away. Amen? I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and I'm not below. I am blessed when I leave out of here, and I'm blessed when I come in. My storehouse is blessed. My bank account's blessed. My family's blessed. My wife's blessed. My children's are blessed. I am blessed and highly favored. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm going to bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaf's not going to wither. And whatever I do, it's going to prosper. I have been made to be an overcomer through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm living this life by faith in the Son of God who was the one who was loving on me while He gave Himself for me. Greater is He who is in me than any devil I'm going to face today. And by the way, this is going to be a good day because it's the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice in it. And you know what? I may run into some situations when I don't know what I need to do, but I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when I pray in the Spirit, He always prays according to the will of God. So I'm going to be praying the will of God. And when I know I'm praying the will of God, I know I will have whatever I have asked because I have prayed the will of God. I'm going to build myself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be surrounded by the angels of God who are sent to minister to me because I am an heir of salvation. As a matter of fact, I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ and everything belongs to Him. So I'm the one in charge here, not these demons that are trying to take me out. And you can just go on like that. Because those are truths from God's Word. Get them in your heart. Speak them out your mouth. Jesus, when He was face to face with the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread. If you want to personalize this, it is written, I'm not going to live by anything but what proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm not listening to you, devil. Well, jump off the pinnacle. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. That's how Jesus lived. Well, just bow down and worship me, and it'll go easy for you. You'll have everything. The Lord's my shepherd. And even though I go through places where death is all around me, I'll fear no evil because my Father's with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. As a matter of fact, while I eat my lunch, the enemy's just going to watch it while God provides for me. He's anointing my head with oil. My cup is not half empty. My cup is running over. Oh, my goodness. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me today. As a matter of fact, all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell with my Lord in His house forever. So just go on your way, two-legged devil. And go on like that. God's Word works. Let God be true. And every man a liar. So Jesus, He stayed with His identity. Didn't try to prove who He was. He rested in who He knew Himself to be. He used God's Word against everything the enemy brought against Him. And you can even put on your armor. You can go through all of that. That's a good thing to do. And you know what it says? The angels came and ministered to Him. The devil left Him for a season, but the angels came and ministered to Him. You see, God knows how much you can take, and God knows when to send the angels in. And they came and they ministered to Jesus. And then what do you see him doing? He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he just stepped right into what God had him to do, what God had called him to do. So it's important when you're returning from a fight with the devil, you understand these things, but also as to step back into what God's given you to do. The devil wants you to think, well, you're benched. No, you're going to have to hang out around a locker room. You might as well go off up in the bleachers. You're going to have to watch from up there. No, you get back doing what God has called you, gifted you, and given you to do. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I encourage you just to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, I just don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like I'm any good. I don't feel like I can accomplish anything. Again, God's Word says, no, your labor, always abound in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain when you do it in the Lord. And you know, that's a good scripture if you're in a job and you feel like you're just beat up on the job and you want a different job. You serve God with the full capacity of your heart. You do it as unto the Lord, and your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. He'll give you a promotion. He can shift favor where you're working, or he'll open a new door. But be faithful where you are. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. If you faint not, just get busy doing what God's given you to do. And one thing that Jesus faced, not as he was returning from a fight with the devil, is he was misunderstood by the people who grew up with him, who was closest to him for most of his life. You see, God had spoken who he was. He knew who he was. But the people he grew up with couldn't really see who he was. He said, a prophet's without honor saving his own country. And he had to face that. And I imagine that was hard for him to deal with. Because he loved everybody he ever met. And I would think especially so, the people he grew up with. You know, he'd probably worked in Joseph's carpenter shop, probably helped his neighbors with different things. But the blessings, listen to this, the blessings he had previously given them in helping them in different ways, now the enemy was using that against him. But this is just Joseph's son. He worked on the ox cart just 6 months ago, and he thinks he can do all this? And sometimes you may be discouraged by the people who are closest to you. What did Jesus do? He still had a heart for him. He healed a few of the sick, but he wanted to do so much more. It was their loss, but he did not allow even discouragement from those closest to him to keep him from going to the next thing that Father had for him. We go through changes in our life. We go through transitions. Jesus went through a lot of those. But again, it comes back, and I know sometimes John 5 is like a nail, and everything I have is a hammer trying to hit it. But he only did what he saw the Father doing. Living a life led by the Holy Spirit. That's one of our keys to living in victory. Because what God leads you to do, he'll provide for you to do. He'll help you to do. You're partnering with God at that point. And it just keeps you in a much better place than getting off out of the will of God, or just kind of, we can feel sorry for ourselves, or we can become offended, we can hold grudges, we can feel like, well, I'm a failure, there's no use trying. All that stuff that the enemy wants to make us feel, all of that's lies, child of God. You get back to, like Jesus did, he just came back and he said what God said. He just said what God said. And sometimes we just need to say what God says. Let all those feelings, all those other thoughts, just keep saying what God says. Keep believing what God says. Keep doing what God tells you to do. And so you're praying and fasting, because Jesus had prayed and fasted these 40 days. That prepared him for this battle. You need to keep praying and fasting, because when you leave one fight with the devil, Round two will be around the corner somewhere. Keep praying and fasting. Keep filling your heart full of the Word so it'll be there for you to speak out. You know, if you don't get it in there, unless you've got your Bible with you to read, you know, you need enough of it in there. That's one reason we're doing Scripture memories. You know, what we've learned so far this year, these will help you. Yeah, they may not be going the way it ought to, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, I don't know why I'm feeling so grumpy today. You know what? I'm going to rejoice always. Lord, just help me. I prayed that this morning when I knelt by my bed. Lord, this is one of the Scriptures. Today I'm choosing to rejoice all day long. I want to pray without ceasing. And in everything, I want to have a thankful heart because I know that's your will for me in Christ Jesus. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm going to ask today. I'm going to seek. I'm going to knock. And I thank you that I'm going to receive and I'm going to find and it'll be open before me. Use the truth of God's Word to see that puts light on the path before you. The entrance of His Word gives us light. And it's in the darkness where the enemy works. And you know what breeds in the darkness? Doubt, fear, and unbelief. You know what comes alive in the light? Everything that's good and of God. Let's stand together. When Mickey and I were on our way home from Missouri, we had something a little bit bizarre happen. And it was just a reminder, I preached on deliverance Sunday night and in Missouri. But the next morning when we were on our way home, and she can bear witness to this because we obviously talked about it and prayed about it, but we're driving down the road in the car, and I said something to her, but in about 15 seconds, in a voice, you know how your GPS has got voice in it? You know, we have a little woman somewhere in our car on the side of a box, and she's telling me where to turn. And pleasant female voice, you know, in a quarter mile, you know, and 1,000 feet, you're going to take a ride on so-and-so road. Well, so that's the voice we're used to hearing talking in our car. We're driving down the road, and I had said something, and about, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds after I said it, this voice, this is kind of how it sounded. The voice said the same thing that I had just said 15 seconds earlier. It was really bizarre. And I had talked a little bit the night before about how the enemy will whisper and, you know, how he wants to get his voice in your head. Yeah, and we were listening to a podcast about deliverance. So it was really interesting. And we did not have the radio on at that precise moment. But then about, three other times on the trip, the GPS would come on to tell us where to turn.
In 1,000 feet.
You know, that same kind of voice. And then when it got to 500 feet, the other voice would come on. And that happened like 3 different times. That voice just... So obviously, I laughed to start with. I thought, yep, this is just like the devil. You know, you're not going to intimidate us, you know, because that's what he wants to do. So we prayed about it. We plead the blood of Jesus. But it happened 3 or 4 times in our car. And I just feel like it was just more of a confirmation. The enemy is always wanting to infiltrate. And I don't want to give any undue attention to him. But sometimes Christian people think all that stuff, it's just way out yonder, has nothing to do with them. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So we prayed about that. Jesus, who was the Son of God, full of the Holy Spirit without measure, had the gifts without measure. I mean, he was perfect. And yet, the enemy brought it to his doorstep. And he had to deal with it. Who are we to think that somehow we will be exempt from that? You know, if he's not bothering you, then he may not be much of a threat. But we need to really get grounded in a revelation of who we are, what we've been given, and know we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Here's the end of this message. I got to stop. We must not accept that we have to live a defeated life. We have victory in Jesus. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come and be here in this altar area. There may be somebody here tonight. You need prayer. Maybe you're in the thick of battle, and we believe in locking arms and praying for one another, and we believe there's strength in that God hears and answers prayer. I just open up this altar for you to come. Our worship team here is going to worship, and this altar will be open for prayer. And Father, I thank you for this time we've had together here tonight. And I just pray over this entire congregation. I plead your blood over them, Lord Jesus, that these are your sons and daughters. And I thank you that you take good care of your children. And for any struggling in the room right now, we are just agreeing together in faith that whatever the enemy may be bringing to your doorstep, we're showing up in the Spirit right now beside you, and we're saying, devil, away with you. Get away from God's children. Get away from our brothers and sisters. We just declare the blood of Jesus over our lives. We declare that greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. And Lord Jesus, we just worship you. We give you our heart's affections and attention. We don't want to think about the enemy. We want our eyes to be upon you. But we want to be ready if he shows up to be able to move him out of the way quickly. So energize us by your Spirit. Give us revelation from your Word. Surround us with your angels, Father. And help us to be found faithful. As the Apostle Paul said, fighting the good fight of faith. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And may the Spirit of God allow you to leave here tonight in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. This altar's open. We'll have worship going. Any of you need prayer, come on up. Sure do appreciate you being here on Wednesday. Saturday morning, we'll be having our healing time. And then Sunday, invite a friend. See you at 10.